Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good evening, race fans. Welcome to a very special edition of Racing with Big Sweat. We felt that it was a very important thing. It's an important thing for us to have a tribute show for Steve Big Sweat Bill Meyer. And Chris has put together a great show tonight to help show our respects for Big Sweat. So look forward to hanging out here tonight and taking phone calls and just kind of taking the trip back down memory lane. It looks like Chris was in the studio. It looks like I lost him. So hopefully he joins back. And there he is. Let me go ahead and get Chris in the studio. Chris, how you doing tonight?
Hey, howdy, race fans. Old Steve Bill Meyer, say how the hell are you? I'm good, CJ Sports. Glad to hear your voice on the other end of the line here. Definitely a tribute show to a diehard race fan here tonight. Guys, glad y'all are listening in. I'm a little bit under the weather here. It's allergy season in the South, and, well, I'm allergic. So we'll keep things rolling here in this hour of talk radio and racing radio. And just glad to have everybody listening in. I think we should have Mike Perricone here as well.
If you're in the studio,
or the 110 Racing family, or the 110 Nation family, then make sure you guys are joining us here tonight for this awesome show. Unfortunately, last week our show was bewildered with some technical issues, and glad to have all those straightened out this week and back on the air again. It's definitely short track racing season. And we don't have very much short track news just of yet to share with you guys. I do know that we will be continuing the Racing with Big Sweat show here on the 110 Nation Sports Network. And looking forward to big plans here in the future as we revamp Racing with Big Sweat and get some call-in guests. I did do some reaching out in the last couple of weeks, and I've got a couple of big-name drivers that I think you're going to do really well if we can get them set up on a good time to come on to the show here. And, you know, guys, we still want to tap into that short track industry, whether it be dirt racing or you know, just short track asphalt racing. I always enjoy interviewing guys from across the country, and we want to keep that going here with this radio show. And, you know, CJ, you got a really cool gig here, and you know, it's just been kind of different the last couple of weeks without having Steve, you know, text us and keep us informed of what was going on in the world of racing on his end. And it definitely has been a somber couple of weeks.
Most definitely. I got Mike in the studio. Mike, how you doing tonight?
How you doing, CJ? Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Steve is the one that got me involved with the 110 Nation. Long story short, however they put that, I had started getting involved with Steve's page, and along the way he realized of my connections because he saw all my posts from Riverhead Raceway and said, I'd like to have you co-host. And so I did that starting. I had some radio background, and I co-hosted with him for a couple of months. I would say, let's see, March, April, May. I guess it was about 2 months. I know I started my show in May. And around after 2 months, we booked some people. We booked Tim Salamito and a couple of people from Riverhead to go on that show, and all of whom have been on my show also. So anyway, got started with that, and then about 2 months down the road, he said, I'm going to go and talk about dirt, you know, more than asphalt. So, and he knew I wasn't, you know, as up on dirt racing as I have become from listening to Chris's show and with Steve, and also contributing to CJ's weekday programs and talking to some of those drivers. But then I started my show in May, and the rest is history, as they say. But I owe that all to Steve and, of course, to CJ. And I've said it many times. I thank those two gentlemen profusely for getting me involved. And I plan on staying involved for as long as the station is around.
Yeah, Mike, it was great to have you added to the already all-star lineup that Mr. CJ Sports has put together here at the 110 Nation Sports Network, and you've definitely been a big asset. And, you know, that all that led into being in place because, you know, I was Steve's co-host for a couple of years, and I decided that I was ready to do my own dirt show and had got a guy who was going to help me co-host it. And so I left Steve's show and kind of left a void there for him. And, of course, that's kind of where Steve went out and reached out for Mike Perricone. But, you know, it's ironic, Mike, because, you know, Steve's the reason why I'm here as well. And he just had a way of building friendship and bond and used the one thing that we can all relate with, and that's the love for racing, to get us here.
It was funny because I stepped in for you, and then you stepping in for me, which when I did my own show, and how I came up with that idea, it wasn't initially my idea to do, and then I guess I sat, you know, I just said, okay, you know, I am more up on asphalt, and I said, wait a minute, let me see if there's a spot open, and Steve had introduced me to CJ, over the phone at least. And I reached out to him and said, I have all these contacts in the Northeast. And for whatever reason, they didn't have someone prior to me that, you know, they obviously had Steve, but he was down in North Carolina also. So they didn't have a Northeast person, and I cover basically Riverhead. And I knew about all the other tracks. I just got more involved with my show. As you know, I always had the contacts or the person's name, but then I got more involved in the other tracks as well, and it's just taken off. And thankfully, you know, I'm pleased how everything came together. And but ironically, all three of us were involved at the station at one time, and you took I took over for you initially when you left, and you took over for me on the Thursday show, and I had my own, and now the two of us are here, and unfortunately Steve, you know, Steve's legacy is the two of us, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he had a way of picking talent, for sure. I mean, we've seen that with the guests that he picked, you know, for each show, but, you know, to reach out there, Steve was a networker and could probably... The most fascinating thing that I can relate to in the passing of Steve is the amount of people that he was able to reach out and talk to across the United States, all the people from Washington to from shore to shore that had conversation or had chatted with Steve or had been in some kind of contact with him in the racing world. And, you know, Steve was a networker, and you know, it's for all the people that he knew, for him to set his finger on, you know, me or you, and bring us aboard here on the 110 Nation is, you know, a testament of who Steve was and how he was had a keen eye for talent. And, you know, to be in this with this station and all. And, you know, when I first started, I think there was about 500 or 600 likes, Jason. Now we're up to 1,200, almost 1,400, I believe, and growing. And you know, I think what we all agree with is that Steve's going to forever live on the legacy that you know, he was kind of like one of the, you know, he'll always be one of the 110 Nation brothers, you know.
Yeah, definitely. You know, but and you talk about his reach, and I can say, you know, unequivocally, like you said, he was might have lived in North Carolina and down south, but like you said, he reached out to everybody across the nation, and even I, you know, I have my area of expertise in my area, like regionally, but, you know, I've learned about other drivers from other parts of the country through co-hosting with CJ now and listening to Steve's show and your show, you know. But I never had the contacts that Steve had. I mean, mine are regional. His were national.
You know, you can go to the group page right now and have an hour-long show just off of the timeline of NASCAR and other sports, other racing. And, you know, that's, once again, it reflects the platform that he built for us. And CJ, you know, we've both had our story of how we come in contact with Steve. I don't think we've ever heard your story, CJ. Let's get it from you.
You know, it was funny. Because Miss Lee came to me talking about we got this guy that has this race group, and he's got a racing background, and, you know, he can be, you know, she kind of prepared me that, you know, Steve's going to say what he wants to say, and so we kind of got to take that. You got to kind of take that with the grain.
If you
want to
go ahead and put it out there, I'll say it for you, CJ. He actually was let go from his other place because he called Dale Jr. gay. There it is. I mean, that was Steve, and he was opinionated, and that's what we loved about it. But I'm sorry, CJ. Back to your story.
Hey, so that's kind of, you know, this is the first time I get, you know, Steve on. I'm not quite sure, in the, you know, how to go into this, because I'm waiting for at any moment something to be said, and I got to shut it down. Like, I'm not quite, you know, I'm just not quite sure. You know, this is just a warning I get, and I get Steve on, and you know, when I got him on the show the first couple of times, my first thought is like, this is like everybody's crazy uncle in their family. Like, Steve has done everything, and so I'm hearing these old stories of, you know, doing this or doing that, you know, his experience of the track, and it just like, that's just like you would sit and listen to this uncle that you just thought was crazy, but boom, they got to do all these life experiences. You know, the Steve got to crew chief for Tim Richmond, and you know, it's been
Jimmy Johnson gave him his first stock car ride. I mean, you know, it's legendary.
Yeah, and then one of my favorite sports movies of all time, Days of Thunder, to know that, you know, he collaborated with them and, you know, helped make this movie, and it's just like, you know, I'm instantly put him in legend status, because, you know, I've watched Days of Thunder a gazillion times, and just to know that, you know, these were experiences that he witnessed, you know, this wasn't something that was just made up in a movie, that these were actual life events that happened, and it's just like, this man is a legend. Like, he's been around some of the best drivers and the coolest people ever in NASCAR, and it's helped put one of the greatest NASCAR movies ever together.
Exactly.
And so from there, it was like, any time that this, you know, Miss Lee's like, we're going to bring Steve back on the show. It's like, all right, you know, this is cool. You know, I got someone that, you know, I can pick his brain. He's got like 100 years of experience in NASCAR from everything that he's done. And then he got let go of the other network or whatever the case was. And, you know, I kind of get the same warning from Miss Lee. Now, you know, Steve, and, you know, he's willing to say anything, so, you know, you're going to have to be there with these shows, because, you know, just in case. But, you know, he's wanting to know, you know, can he come to our network? And I'm like, Miss Lee, is this even a question? Like, are you serious? Like, I didn't even got to think about this. And it was just one of those things. Just every week after that, getting to sit and talk with Steve and get to pick his brain and why did this happen? Or, you know, from your experience, why did that happen? And, you know, get the opportunity to be in the studio with him. I want to say it's been at least a year that we were together. It might have been 2 years. I can't remember how long Steve had been on the network. And then I got, on top of that, I got an opportunity to listen to this great driver after that great driver, T.J. Hughes and the Shayla Bays and the Natalie Deckers and Hannah Newhouse and all these up-and-coming drivers that, you know, some of them I never would have experienced it and had the opportunity. I mean, T.J. Hughes been on the show, I want to say about three to five times, probably closer to that five times, and, you know, to know some of the things that T.J. Hughes has done and how he's attacked his wives out there in the Midwest, and, it's crazy to me to gather the idea that not only did I get to sit in the studio with this legend every single Thursday night, and he wanted to help me co-host the show on Monday night. Like, not only did I get to have this guy on the network, but he's wanting to do shows with me as well. Then I get an opportunity to be introduced to all of these different athletes and drivers that I never would have had the opportunity to meet if not for Steve and have on the show and talk to him. That to me, you know, and I think Steve kind of thought I was joking or just being nice when anytime he thanked me, he would thank me for being on the network and having this opportunity. And I'm just like, Steve, no, like, you're a legend. Like, I think he thought I, you know, it was just me saying that, but to me, he was legend status. Like, he's done and experienced so much that I'm not going to say I was jealous, but I would have loved to have the same opportunity. I would have loved to walk, you know, in his shoes and got to experience those things that he got to experience. I mean, you got to grow and be part of NASCAR in the good old days. And I can only imagine what it was like back at the hotels and in the infield. I never got into details with Steve on, you know, what the scene was like, but I could imagine what Steve was like down there, hanging out with all those people and the good old boys and just cutting up, doing kind of whatever you wanted to do.
Yeah, I think Steve was a part of the generation where they sat back and watched their kind being replaced with engineers and technical gurus, basically, so to speak. You know, back in Steve's time, the garage was still a little bit messy every now and then, and you know, Hendrick kind of come along and really, you know, now all of a sudden you had a clean floor garage and, you know, everything's neat and in its place. There's no parts laying around and stuff like that. And Steve, you know, he was a part of that evolutionary trend that happened in the motorsports world. And, you know, at some point in time, Steve had to have seen that, you know, that his way of doing things and that old style, that old country boy grassroots racer was going to be hard to come by. But it's even as Steve, you know, changed careers and got more involved in the social media, it was like he carried that same concept as a crew chief or a team owner over to scouting these young and talented drivers that we've had on the radio. It's amazing that Steve was so well connected and used that to his benefit.
And CJ, you talk about the stories. One of my favorites, because I grew up in the East and also had the pleasure of going to this one track. Everybody knows I'm at the weekly Riverhead track and everything, and I slipped when it was running. But the one Cup track that I went to was Pocono, and you tell the story the best. I get it mixed up, but he told that story about Pocono the first time, and that was one of my favorites, the way he told that.
Yeah, him talking about, I believe he thought they were a commercial break, or I think this right when satellite TV came out, and you could flip over to satellite. I can't remember exactly, but, they had caught him on camera scratching himself, and he had no idea that, you know, he was being, you know, televised. You know, just some of the stories. And talking about being into motorsports, No, I'm not going to say I was ever a big fan of anybody. Oh, I'm not going to say that because I was a Jeff Horn fan. I just got tired of watching him win all the time, and I became a Jimmy Johnson fan. But I wasn't a die-hard Hendrick fan. I had some favorites out of the Hendrick stable, but, some people, they're a Joe Gibbs Racing fan, or they're a Ralph Fenway fan. You know, they're a fan of the whole organization and knows the history of. And I wasn't at that level, but to hear that Steve was the fourth employee ever over at Hendrick Motorsports, I'm just like, wow, this guy helped, kind of helped put Hendrick where they're at. I mean, you're the fourth employee ever at Hendrick Motorsports. And so right then, I kind of had those stars in my eyes. Especially being a founder of a radio network, how do you not have, the fourth employee ever at Hendrick Motorsport, someone that worked with Jimmy Johnson, put Jimmy Johnson in his first car, worked with Jeff Bonine, Tim Richmond, Timothy Peters, and so on and so on. And I don't even think the first time I had him on the show, I don't think the whole Days of Thunder thing even came up. I think I had the most fascinating conversation I remember ever hearing about that, and really when I kind of got more of the details is when we had Damien on the show, and they started talking about that, and it got into more in depth, and it's just like, oh wow, I didn't realize all this at the time, but it's always funny listening to some of the things that Steve would say, finer than a frog's hair, and just. get up with me unless you're one of my wives or bill collectors. And it's just like, Steve always knew a way to kind of, put a smile on your face and get you to chuckle. There was, I'm not gonna lie, there was a few times in the couple years that, I just like, oh, I hope Steve, I hope Steve reels it in a little bit. I don't want to have to, how do you tell someone that like a legend to you? Well, we can't say that, or we can't do that.
Tony Richard called in and said something about what he watched on his own free time, and that was said over the air, I about died. It had to do with a computer, I promise you.
luckily, it never got anywhere where, I had to reel Steve in, and I got to have a lot of great conversations with him. After shows and
oh god, some of the after show. If we had only kept the record button for some of the things we talked about after the show there in the
yeah.
in kind of the beginning time the early days.
I think
talking about
only,
getting dead airliners and all that other stuff. And Steve was right there. You actually got to go with Steve to a racetrack. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, it didn't end up working out because the day of the race rained, and so. I had actually made it to the track, and as soon as I got to the track, that's when the sprint, because it was a Outworld of Outlaws event, and they canceled as soon as I got there. And Steve, I think he was getting ready to head that way when I related to him, because I think he kind of waited to find was finding out. So we never actually got to do the event together, but we had both had gotten approved for the World of Outlaws event. I think the only time that I ever got, I was kind of on pins and needles or was concerned if things were going to get kind of dicey was when the whole Confederate flag issue got brought up.
That was a racy show, wasn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
I remember that one, CJ. The way to bring that one out of the archives. We're going to have to go find that one. That was a very intense show. I remember that.
Yeah, and it wasn't even necessarily had to worry, it was all just concerned about them. I was concerned about everybody that came on the show. And when you start to get to talking, things start to get said, and even with the guests, kind of let things go to a point. And I remember that night, I had to kind of stay there with the mute button close by the whole station period. Because you didn't know who was going to say what when they came on the show. And, I lay the guidelines down when anybody comes aboard and writes for us or does shows with us. you know, what is acceptable, what we're going to tolerate, not tolerate. You know, I encourage, you know, everybody on the network to speak your opinion. And you know, I try not to, you know, we try not to censor it. I mean, there's never been to a point that we've had to censor or backtrack or apologize for anything. We're all very opinionated. I think Steve was a little bit more opinionated than for the rest of us. I think he kind of, where we
he earned that, right? He was a little bit older than us. He kind of directed the way.
I think that he kind of, where we slacked off on, you know, maybe sometimes we would pull back the reins a little bit. Steve definitely picked that up and kind of made up for the rest of us, I guess. And it was always made for great, and especially like when we got him on to talk about the Monster Energy coming to NASCAR and talking about these stages and everything else, you know, especially the stages. He was not a fan of the stages, but I knew he was going to be the only one. If there was nobody else, Steve was going to be the only one that was going to be against that or have his opinions about that. That was going to be opposite of myself.
Well, and that was the old school factor. That was one of the reasons why we loved Steve so much, because he gave us, you know, the old school factor, and he was probably more fascinated about how young the drivers were, because, you know, at that time he would say, "I'm 5 years old. I was playing in the mud with bricks, you know, and these kids are out here racing." And you know, it was such an honor and a blessing to work with him.
It really was. I know y'all, you know, discussed, you know, doing shows with them, but how did exactly, you know, I laid out kind of how I met him exactly, you know, Miss Lee. It had to do with Miss Lee. I don't know. Steve, I think originally Miss Lee reached out to Steve to get him come on the show, and then after we had him on a few times, that's when he had his fallout with the other station, and then he reached out to Miss Lee. But originally, with Miss Lee reaching out to him, and that's how we got him on the show. That's how I first met him. How exactly did you guys first, Crystal first, how exactly did you meet him before you even have an opportunity to be on the show with him?
Well, it started back in 2012, well, actually 2011. I became an inanimate object on Twitter, along with the explosion of the orange cone, who got all the glory and all the airtime, and poor old caution flag didn't get hardly any airtime, and Carl Edwards' teeth, and not Mike Hilton, and not Bruton Smith. There was just a whole bunch of characters over there, and Steve and I had talked a couple of times, and he was friends with a guy that the last name was Wonkin. I can't remember his first name, and he started up a blog radio called Fan for Racing, and it was a Monday night show, and I would call in, you know, as my character, Flag of Caution, and we would, you know, talk about NASCAR, and they loved me calling into the show. Well, I called in one time, and Steve was online, and so me and Steve got to sit at the round table together, and just like you, you know, I was fascinated with who I was talking to, and it was like the very first time that we were on the air together, he knew who I was. It was like he you know, knew that I was, it just kind of involved me into the roundtable discussion. And Steve being a guest on this show as well, you know, it was kind of like he took the table to where they had the right platform, but they just didn't know really how to work the show. Steve, as a guest, come on and kind of work the show there. And so I was so inspired by it. I was like, man, I cannot wait until next week. I'm going to call the show again, and hopefully Steve will be there. And he was, and we had another great show together. So actually, our show kind of started at another network, but it wasn't even our show. We were just commentators filling in for a radio show that was being syndicated on Monday nights. And then Steve went over to 110, and I had just announced that I wasn't going to bring back Yellow Caution Flag Racing Radio. And Steve said, "Hey, I'm doing a new show over here, and I really like this guy, and you know, he's putting forth all this effort, and I'd like for you to be my co-host." And I was like, "What? You know, what? You know, this is, you know, amazing, man. This guy, and oh man, I called my dad. I called him. I was like, hey, guess what, man? You know, I'm gonna be back on the radio. You know, because I was for 2 years, I was focused on doing my own show and producing it and paying for it, and I had a really good local a fan base that was, you know, listening in. And as far as I was concerned, that was my support. They were listening in, and unfortunately, you know, you have to make decisions when you're your own financial backer, and I knew that I couldn't afford to do the radio show anymore, so I was really bummed out, and that's why I'd called in on a Monday night show to some syndicated, you know, internet radio show at this time that wasn't even popular. You know, people were doing podcasts, but definitely not live shows, and, you know, like I said, me and Steve just hit it off, and his firsthand experience and my focus as a fan for years was a great combination, and there was born Racing with Big Sweat.
And in my case, I started, we were talking, Steve and I got to talking over at the page at NASCAR and Other Racing, and as I continued to post stuff from Riverhead, he got to realize, hey, this guy knows about racing, I guess. And he actually had me write up something that was akin to a resume to show him or just to tell him everything I ever got involved in with racing. And that's when I went into my columns and how I started writing for the different tracks at Islip and at Riverhead. So that's when he said, okay, I guess at that time, Chris had left the first time or you know, he didn't have a co-host. He just had himself for a while when I was listening to the program. And I had nothing to do with the 110 at that time. I was just a listener. And he said, come on, and, you know, you can do the modifieds in the asphalt. I'm an asphalt guy, but let's see how it goes. And, of course, the first person I would book, and we still have him come on the shows occasionally, on my show, Timmy Salamito. And, in fact, CJ met him at South Carolina at Myrtle Beach in the modified opener they had down there. And that was part of the story, too. But anyway, I got involved with that, and then Steve, I remember the person we had on that we both knew at the time, because I knew Mario from New England and coming into Long Island at Islip all the time for the All-Star shows. He used to bring the 44 Modified in, and that was Mario Fiore. And ironically, I remember that we had Mario on like about a month before he passed away suddenly. And nobody expected it. And I remember Steve and I talking online when Mario passed away. It was like, man, we just had him on the show. And he goes, yeah. And I didn't even know at the time that Mario was sick. And later I found out, you know, more about the situation. But when he came on, he didn't seem like he was, you know, talking badly or not feeling well, and it was kind of like, in my case anyway, sudden. I mean, he might have had people closer to him in New England that knew that he was struggling with something, but personally, I didn't know Mario was sick, and Steve didn't either, and because he was asking me, did you know that Mario was ill? And I said, no. And, you know, so we found out later more about the situation, but that was unfortunate. But that was the one person we both connected with, because Steve had known him prior as well. So that's how I got involved with Steve. And then, of course, once Chris left, and then, like you said, the first time I took the co-host chair, as it were, with Steve for those 2 months or so. And but that's how I met him, and I basically met him first through the page, and then as the more I posted over there, the more he realized, you know, my background, and that's when he started talking to me at length about the show and what we would do, you know, in coming through. So,
you know, and I think that kind of the way this subject is going is, you know, Steve taught us all a lot, but it, you know, as I reflect back on that, I think about what Steve taught some of the guests and all, and he didn't just impact us as co-hosts or colleagues. He also touched his guests in ways. I remember Wayne Goss and him coming on and being frustrated with the sport at the time and looking to, you know, do something else. And I think Steve had a big impact on where Wayne was going to go after that because, you know, Steve was such a promoter of racing, and he found that Wayne had a lot of great ideas in the promoting side, and really just on the radio show kind of, you know, opened the opportunity that, hey, you know, if you're going to step out from behind the wheel, why don't you still be involved in the sport? And I felt like at that show at that time that all that was coming together. And, of course, you know, we did an update show probably about 6 months later, and, you know, he was telling us how wonderful his decision was. And that's just one story. There's so many others where I believe our guests, their sales were impacted by not just his racing background, his passion for the sport, but also just his genuineness that he had with people. Well, you know, the frog sitting backwards in the blender, you know, little catchphrases like that were just, you know, always kept the guests humble and ready to talk. One thing about Steve was Steve could basically get the conversation going to where these guests were ready to share their personal lives, and I think a lot of personal stuff had been shared throughout these shows over the last few years.
I think the other thing that was impressive to me, and we always say it on the shows, I mean, I say it to DJ all the time, whenever a technical issue comes up about cars or, you know, like I'm into racing, CJ's into racing, but I dare say we're not technically, I mean, CJ probably knows more. I know CJ knows more technical than I do. And I always used to turn to Steve if I had a question. But the thing that sticks out to me is on the race threads that we have over on NASCAR and other racing to this day, Steve used to contribute, you know, mightily to those. But the interesting thing is, we'd all be talking about, oh, so-and-so went into the wall, did you see that pass, this, that, and the other thing. You know, talking like a fan. And Steve would always watch the race with the idea, okay, you know, like, for instance, there'd be a pit stop. And he'd go, okay, Harvick's getting his tire changed because he doesn't want the right side to drag or this, that. He used to talk like a you know, he
crew
used
chief
to,
mentality.
Yes, exactly. Talk like a crew chief, even when he was trying to educate us over there on what was happening with the cars. And it blew me away because to this day, and you know, he would do that. That up, right up to the present day, you know, until we unfortunately lost him. But I'm just saying that's how he would talk. He wouldn't so much care about speed as much as, oh, he's doing this because so that this doesn't drag or that happens or, oh, they're changing the left side because of this. That's how he talked all the time about racing, and it was amazing. He could do that from a TV screen.
You know, and
we'll figure it out.
CJ, you had said something about TJ Hughes. I think probably one of the most fascinating times that Steve was, you know, we're talking about education. Steve was being educated by TJ Hughes' step from late model to sprint car. Very few times did I feel that, you know,
right.
Steve was in the learning chair, but he was so fascinated with TJ's jump from a late model into a sprint car and really set the standard to explain how the car and the reaction time and all that was different than late model, but didn't wanted it as a as you go type thing and not a looking back on it. In other words, he wanted TJ on the week after he raced so that he would know, you know, to get it firsthand, the virgin like experience of being in a sprint car versus, you know, always being in a late model. And I think that was a
that was a defining time as well.
A lot of times it would be TJ, Chris, but I remember him saying, not only am I learning something from the guys that dirt race, you know, because like I said, Steve had the background in asphalt at first, like I did, but like I do. But the funny thing was, he not only would tell the guests, oh, I learned something from you, but he said, I'm taking notes. You know, he'd actually write down during the show what you know, things that interested him and things that he figured he could use, you know.
Which was where the phrase was born, so Mr. CJ Sports, what did you learn today?
You know, and speaking of this, and I was sitting there thinking about this before we even got to this point. It was kind of unexpected anyway. You know, I always felt that, you know, I do racing, and I do racing. I know more about racing than I know about any other sport. That was a sport that no matter what was going on each weekend, we at least caught the race. We might have had yard work to do, but we watched the race until the yard work. The race was done, we did yard work. But the football game was on, okay, we came back in and caught, you know, what the score was and went back out and did yard work or went back out and did this. So growing up, you know, NASCAR always took, you know, the front stage and everything, or, you know, in front of everything on Sundays. And knowing our father, you know, partake in the local Friday and Saturday night, Kill Care Friday, Shady Bowl on Saturday. As his best friend owned a race car, and he, you know, my father had been a mechanic since he was 18 years old. He still works today, but he owns the garage now. He still has the same location that he first started when he was 18, and he's 60-something years old now. So I always felt that I know, you know, I always knew that I knew more about NASCAR than I did about any other sport. And I felt that I was very, very informative and knew a lot. Then you had someone like Steve come on the show, and it kind of opened my eyes.
Right.
And it has made me a better host and a better co-host and a better, more knowledgeable person, because when I had Steve on the show and I would ask him every time we did a show, especially when we did Rubbin' Is Racing, what did you take from that? Or, you know, what things did we not touch on that you picked up on the race? And I would ask him every week. And it would help me kind of look at each race a little bit more differently, more and more. You know, I would start to look for those things consistently that he paid attention to that helped me become, you know, more informative and even a better host when it comes to talking NASCAR and racing in general.
Yeah, and I have to say, Chris, that he taught me that about that's what I was going through with dirt racing, and then I just transferred that to CJ because I know that he had told me many times that he had seen racing on TV and some modified racing. But right up until the time when I used to book, you know, I booked modified guys on my show, Asphalt Modified, and then just this last month was able to get CJ and Shorty some press credentials to go down there to view the Whalen Modified tour. And Steve always taught me to do that for, you know, for people that don't know about racing, and that helped me with my show too, how I approach different things with the fans. And here I was, I guess it was, 2 weeks ago, as CJ was walking through the pits, I'm saying, okay, we're messaging back and forth, okay, CJ, this guy's been on my show, he's this number car, and, you know, actually went up to him and basically made a contact with all these guys from the Northeast, which, you know, which was really pleasing to me, because that's what the show is about, you know, in terms of not only teaching the fans, but helping CJ along the way too.
You know, so many times there was, you know, technical difficulties or guests would be booked and they didn't call in, but there was never any downtime or any dull time when you had Steve on the air, but you know, probably what sets itself away from the most is, you know, we all like to talk. CJ likes to talk. That's why he does radio. I like to talk. That's why I do radio. Mike, you like to talk, and
yes.
Steve taught me kind of the other side, that if, you know, he had a talk show, but it wasn't, it was a different talk show because we weren't there to talk. We were there to pinpoint certain things that would draw interest for the people listening. And that's so hard to do in radio. You know, it's not like sitting down late night TV. And when you have a co-host who likes to talk just as much as you, or even more, which would be me, you would have expected the show to be a lot about us blabbering and not getting the story from the guests. But that is so not true by the way Steve set these shows up and kind of taught us how to our time to talk was going to be later on, but right now let's listen and try to find the best story possible from the guest. And we've had guests who were hard to talk to, but thought that they were, you know, they just deserved a big car deal. You know, they're going to go drive, but they didn't have any marketing or character skills. They didn't have very much of a personality. They weren't very informative on their interview. They had a lot of ambition. Well, Steve would try to coach them and say, look, you know, you need to kind of pay attention on this for your brand. You need to branch yourself out and become more available. And you know, sometimes I think the guests got it, and then other times, you know, we had like Shaylee comes on. Oh, my gosh, you know, and Natalie Decker. These guests knew what they needed to do to put themselves on the forefront to get the best rides possible. And those were the interviews that come easy with Steve. But even on the people that didn't call in at times, we were able to fill an hour show or an hour and a half show and actually, you know, wait for Steve to say, hey, you know, it's about my bedtime. And we would call it a show, you know.
Right. And Chris, there's something else, too, I know with me before I went on my show, that Steve and I used to talk about format. You know, like he'd sit me down and say, okay, we've got an hour. We're going to do a half hour like this and a half hour like that. And one of the things he taught me about, and it was a verification for me because I knew that I wanted to do format my show this way. I have 2 hours courtesy of CJ, and what I do is in the first hour I take a race car driver or a competitor. Most times, sometimes I'm forced to put 2 competitors on because somebody canceled or it was a last-minute situation. But most of the time I have 2 hours. I take the first hour and I put a competitor on there, and then I put what I call a helper from the track, a staff member, either the track chaplain I've had on or the ticket taker or a band member who played or something. So anything to do with running a weekly track. And this way I teach the fans how to, you know, what it takes. It's not just the racing, race drivers. Obviously, they're vital to the success of a track. But there's also, you know, the food vendors and this, that, and the other. Everybody that's involved. And I try to take a different, in that second hour, a person from that venue, you know, that area of concern, and teach the fans about them. And that came, I can't say it came all the way from Steve, but it was a verification when Steve and I used to talk that, you know, give the fans something that, you know, if you could talk about drivers all the time, give the fans something different. And that just verified once I got on my show what I wanted to do. And he just rubbed the stamp it for me.
I tell you guys, I just now went over to the social media site, and Lindsay Robertson, Steve Billmeyer's daughter, is listening to the show, and we want to give a big shout out to her. CJ, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just now come across this. I've been so caught up with the
with the show that I haven't even went to the social media, and there's some pictures and all on here, guys. If y'all are not part of the NASCAR and other racing group, make sure that y'all are, and go take a look at some of the pictures and stuff that Lindsay has posted. Before this goes any further, I know we're going into the last lap here with 10 minutes to go in the show. 9-1 makes 10, but last weekend when World of Outlaws come out to Why Not Motorsports Park, I seen Tyler Erb there, and Tyler Erb races the number 91 late model car, and the moment I seen that car pull in or come off the hauler, I said, man, you know, that's, I'm going to pull for him tonight. You know, that's Steve's number right there. And so he goes out there and almost blistered the track record, was sat on the pole for most of the race there before eventually somebody else come out and outrun him. But 9-1 has just kind of stayed with me through the last couple of weeks. So, guys, before we get any further, I want to present this to y'all, and I want to see how y'all feel about it. But, you know, 110 Nation family was mostly brought together, I guess, by Steve is what I'm kind of gathering from everybody here that's talking. If it wasn't for Steve, I don't think that we would be as successful as we are. And so to pay homage in respect to such a great legacy and a diehard race fan, I would like to introduce that every September 1st we honor here at 110 Nation it to be Steve Billmeyer Day. That would be September 1st, 9-1 for his race car number. And we'll just forever live in his legacy as long as we're a part of this family. That on September 1st of every year, that's Steve's day.
That's definitely sounds like a great idea. And speaking of moving forward at this point, I know this is not nothing that we have ever formally discussed. I know you've thrown out a couple ideas, but with a few minutes left on the show and all those that are listening in kind of at this point are probably wondering how moving forward are we doing Thursday night. And I know that it's been a real touchy area. You know, I don't think anybody was really prepared for something like this and moving forward how we was going to do everything. Chris, what are your plans moving forward with carrying, you know, Steve's legacy on? Are we keeping the show the same name?
Yeah, well, basically, you know, I discussed with his wife, I mean, with his daughter and his mother that, you know, it was up to them whether or not we continued racing with Big Sweat. And with their blessing and grace and after, you know, talking about it with a few other people, we're going to continue the racing with Big Sweat from now. And, you know, I would like to bring in a co-host, but I think that was probably the biggest issue to have to face was whether or not, you know, we rebrand and restart or continue the legacy. And, guys, after spending an hour talking about just between the three of us what a great man he was, There's no way in the world that I would want to not carry the torch with this show and keep living the presence of what Steve, you know, kind of built for us. It's kind of like, you know, the Garaj Mahal was built for the family of Earnhardt, and I kind of feel like Bill Meyer, my crew chief, kind of set the stage for all this, and yeah. It's just an honor to be the captain, I guess, of RW BS, you know, racing with Big Sweat. I could never be Big Sweat myself. I could never have the knowledge. This man probably forgot more than I'll ever know about racing. But being that, you know, he was such a impactful person with all of us, you know, it's racing with Big Sweat. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do racing with Big Sweat, and we're gonna keep him a part of us, even if it's just in memory and our heart. And I'm trying my best to not make this a sad moment. I kind of feel like Carl Edwards right now. You know, it's we're only here for a short time, guys. That's it, 100 years, and it's over. And if I can get as much out of life as Steve did, then I feel like I've accomplished something. And I just, you know, I want to continue the torch. And we're going to do Racing with Big Sweat, and I know that good things are going to happen. And we just need you fans listening. And sorry if it's been an emotional show. Sorry if it's been an emotional couple of weeks. I know that kind of my show's been the only show that – this show's kind of been the only show that's really, you know – been so focused on losing Steve, but that this was his show, and that's kind of the way it is. The Kid Craddock goes on, you know. I listen to them in the morning times. They found a way to honor Kid Craddock, and so I kind of feel like it's our legacy to it's his legacy to fulfill Racing with Big Sweat. We're still racing with him, guys. He's still listening in. He still lives within every single one of us. That is for sure. After tonight's show, I mean, I would like to have heard from other guests, but I think we broke the telephone lines last week, so we kind of tailed off on that. But we've had an hour-long show here of talking about a great man who, like I said, loved racing and was impactful in all of our lives and definitely impactful for our futures.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, I tell you what, I didn't know, you know, that you'd reached out and everything else, and that's really cool. To know that, you know, his family is fine with us continuing.
He's actually listening to the show right now, CJ, and y'all can laugh at this if you want to, but I believe that he's in one of those ember holders or whatever. And so last week for the show, he was actually sitting on the coffee table listening to the show. So, guys, we're racing with Big Sweat. If that don't make you feel good, I don't know what will.
Yep.
I want to thank you guys all for coming on. Chris, I wanted to especially thank you. I know that, you know, you put this together and you kind of headed, you know, all this in his memory. Now we have an official Steve Billmeyer Day, Racing with Big Sweat, September 1st, and it'll be something that, you know, no matter what day the week falls on, we're going to figure out how to make that day a special day. And you know, he's definitely a big reason why we're all here together, sitting here tonight, and it's definitely touched many people's lives. It was never about him. It was about the sports. It was about those marketing, just like Snap and Seasoning. You know, he was helping a good friend of his help get his product out there, and, you know, by giving it out for calling into the show and everything else. But I got to thank you, Chris, and I know it had to be tough reaching out to the family. And you know, even in a time like this, you even talk about, you know, how do you want us to carry on with the show and the name of the show, and you know, and then now stepping into his, you know, his shadow, and you know, taking the show, you know, and going with it. Those essentially the length of your guys' friendship, and then there's something that's going to be tough every single week, knowing that this show, and that, you know, the circumstance is what it is, and he's no longer with us. So I'm definitely thankful that, you know, you're moving into this role. I know it's got to be a hard role, and I know years down the road, it's still, you know, it's still going to be an emotional, hard, you know, role to, you know, step into, just knowing the background. So.
Kind of like Rich Bickle stepping into Richard Petty's car the year after he retired. I mean, it's no way to fulfill those shoes, but you just, you know, you get in this race car and you want to have a good run and you want to learn something. And so, taken from perspective of how he was as a crew chief, that's kind of the direction I'm taking with how to host this show and how to move it forward. So I appreciate that for understanding that this is difficult, and it was difficult in a lot of different areas. There was definitely a time where I didn't know
what I wanted to do. And Steve's kind of helped direct me in that several times in my life because, like I said earlier, Steve's the reason why I'm in radio. He brought me back. And then when I left, he brought me back again. And so, you know, it's kind of like this is how it all turns out. And so Racing with Big Sweat on Thursday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern. I want to thank our sponsor, Snafu Seasoning. I want to thank the 110 Nation family, Ms. Lee Reed, for always being the backdrop for us and kind of being our technical guru. I want to thank Mr. CJ Sports, a.k.a. Jason McMillan, for supporting us and putting in the time and effort to make this show possible. And I want to thank Mike Perricone, of course, for coming on and kind of filling in. I was under the weather when I started the show. Guys, I already feel a lot better. And I hope that tonight you can dry the tears up. We're going back racing, guys. We got some big shoes to fill. But, you know, this is how we pass our passion and love for a sport down to our kids and to the next generation. He was two generations ahead of me, and I've got a big gap to fill to make sure that I've got two generations below me that are understanding the love for racing and the impact that it has on all of our lives.
You're moving up from the Xfinity division to the Cup division, Chris. That's how you can look at it.
There you go. And we're going to have some all-star guests on, too. I'm really going to put forth that effort and try to get things mainstream here. So, guys, I just appreciate y'all's support and stay safe and make sure y'all are listening in next week to Racing with Big Sweat. I've got to go and get my nightcap put on, and I hope that you guys have a great evening. Don't stay up all night long in those shops, guys. Go home, kiss your wives, and go to bed, and get ready for race weekend this weekend. For all of us at 110 Nation Sports, we love y'all. Have a great evening. And Steve Billmeyer, this was for you, Racing with Big Sweat. Bye-bye.